Right, so check this out. Sleep deprivation really can lead to some serious health problems. As a matter of fact, particularly when whether you have sleep disorders or you're just chronically sleep deprived, it can put you at risk for heart disease. It can put you at risk for heart attack. It can put you at risk for heart failure, irregular heartbeat, high blood pressure, and stroke. I imagine there are probably quite a few people on this earth who have high blood pressure and can't figure out why. And you know you don't, as a rule, overeat. You know that you're doing a pretty decent job of, you know, getting some exercise. You can't figure out why the high blood pressure. There's no real incidence of it in the bloodline, but yet you're having problems with high blood pressure. Ask yourself how you're doing with your sleep. People who, again, have sleep disorders or are chronically being sleep deprived can experience high blood pressure, again, stroke and diabetes. According to some estimates, 90% of people with insomnia also have another health condition. Of course, we know that with insomnia, the person has trouble falling asleep and staying asleep. All right. We know that people want to enjoy life as much as possible, right? And one of the ways that many people like to enjoy life is by having a great sex life. Well, sleep specialists say that sleep-deprived men and women report lower libidos and less interest in sex. Depleted energy, sleepiness, and increased tension may be largely to blame. Increased tension. Let me tell you, it almost seems intuitive to me that if we're constantly getting too little sleep, we're constantly depriving our bodies, our minds, our souls of the proper amount of sleep, that tension within the body, tension in every part of us that needs that sleep and is not getting it, would increase. Depleted energy, sleepiness, increased tension, leading to lower libidos and less interest in sex. For men with sleep apnea, a respiratory problem that interrupts sleep, there may be another factor in the sexual slump. There was a study published in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism in 2002 that suggests that many men with sleep apnea also have low testosterone levels. And you know that testosterone helps with a lot of things, including the sex life. In the study, nearly half of the men who suffered from severe sleep apnea also secreted abnormally low levels of testosterone during the night. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this sleep is something we need. It is said that sleepiness is depressing. Over time, lack of sleep and sleep disorders can contribute to the symptoms of depression. In a 2005 Sleep in America poll, people who were diagnosed with depression or anxiety were more likely to sleep less than 6 hours at night. The most common sleep disorder, insomnia, has the strongest link to depression. In a 2007 study of 10,000 people, those with insomnia were 5 times as likely to develop depression as those without. People with insomnia were 5 times as likely to develop depression as people who did not have insomnia. And as a matter of fact, insomnia is often one of the first symptoms of depression. Now, I know one of the questions that some might be asking is, well, so which comes first? If insomnia is part of the equation, insomnia or the sleep loss or the depression? My guess is insomnia can eventually lead to depression, and depression can eventually lead to insomnia. My conclusion, Let's go ahead and get our proper rest, our proper sleep, period. Out of 10,000 people, the people with insomnia were 5 times as likely to develop depression as the people who did not have it. By the way, for those of you who do have insomnia, what treatments, if that's a proper word, work for you? What have you tried and what works for you? I know sometimes if the situation does not seem to be serious and it hasn't been going on for a very, very, very long time, people will sometimes recommend, you know, of course, starting out with the simplest possible solutions. You know, you don't want to, well, hopefully you don't want to be about the business of just coming full force, all guns are blazing, tanks and everything else, if you haven't tried some of the less severe methods of dealing with it. And so sometimes a doctor may recommend something like melatonin, which is something that naturally occurs in the body and helps with sleep. And so they may recommend that you try melatonin and see how that works. Definitely need to be talking with your doctor, though, if you do have insomnia. As a matter of fact, we were asking that question, you know, saying that some people may be asking, which comes first, the insomnia or the depression? And actually, they do feed on each other. The sleep loss often aggravates the symptoms of depression, and the depression can make it more difficult to fall asleep. On the positive side, treating sleep problems can help depression and its symptoms, and vice versa. And that's really where I was coming from when I talked about this whole issue of making sure that we are getting our proper rest, our proper sleep. And it is about getting proper sleep, too, not just lying down. Don't get me wrong. Lying down can definitely be resting the body more than standing, more than walking, even more than sitting. But we really do need to also be sleeping. And so try to learn your body. How does your body really function? I know that for a lot of people, need to be in bed 9:30, 10:30, 11 o'clock. Some people have a very, very difficult time getting sleep as early as some other people. Try it. Test it. See what really works for your body. And remember this. I know a lot of people talk about how if they go to bed early, they end up waking up very early. That's not necessarily a bad thing, especially if after you've been awake for a while, you're able to go back to sleep and sleep a while. So, for instance, you go to bed at 9, you go to sleep, say, 9:30, 10 o'clock. 3 hours later, you're wide awake. No problem. You're wide awake. Your body's healthy. Not going to be a strain on your heart. Get up. Do something. Have your Bible devotion or your Bible study. Maybe do some schoolwork. Something that's, you know, not necessarily going to wake other people up, but something that will help you use your time productively. Maybe there's some learning that you wanted to do that may have nothing to do with school per se. Use that time. And then when you know your body is ready to go back to sleep, go back to bed, go back to sleep. I just think that it's probably not the best idea to just lie awake in bed for 2 and 3 hours, just lying there, just being awake, when you can be up doing something productive. In fact, that may be part of the reason that your body does wake up a few hours after you've gone to sleep. So you go to bed 9:30, 10:30, you're up a few hours later, no problem. Use that time productively. Then go back to sleep and get the rest of the sleep that your body needs. Check this out. Lack of sleep ages your skin. Most people have experienced some sallow skin and puffy eyes after a few nights of missed sleep. But it turns out that chronic sleep loss can lead to lackluster skin, fine lines, and dark circles under the eyes. And we know that is not particularly attractive. That is not attractive at all, to see those dark circles. And it seems like as those circles get darker, it's almost like there's an indention. It's almost like that part of the eyes are caving in deeper and deeper, getting darker and darker, letting us know we're not getting enough sleep. When you don't get enough sleep, your body releases more of the stress hormone cortisol. And in excess amounts, cortisol can actually break down skin collagen, which is the protein that keeps skin smooth and elastic. Sleep loss also causes the body to release too little human growth hormone. And when we're young, human growth hormone promotes growth, helps us get taller, etc. As we age, that human growth hormone helps to increase muscle mass, it helps to thicken skin, and it helps to strengthen bones. And it's during the deep sleep, what the experts call that slow wave sleep, that growth hormone is released, according to Dr. Phil Gehrman. And he said it really seems to be part of normal tissue repair, patching the wear and tear of the day. The body is literally healing itself when the body is allowed to sleep when it needs to be asleep. What about this? We talked about this a little bit. Sleepiness actually makes you forgetful. In 2009, American and French researchers determined that brain events called sharp wave ripples are responsible for consolidating memory. The ripples also transfer learned information from the hippocampus to the neocortex of the brain, where long-term memories are stored. Can you imagine that? Information is in the brain, and while we're asleep, the brain transfers that information from one part of the brain to another part of the brain, where the long-term memories are stored. Sharp wave ripples occur mostly during the deepest levels of sleep. We truly need that sleep. And you know, I've heard a number of people say, memories are there forever. They don't go away. Memories of what we have done and should not have done. Memories of what we have said and should not have said. Memories of what we should have done and did not do. The memories are there, a lot of people say, a lot of experts say, forever. Won't it be interesting to learn that when we're standing before the Lord Jesus and he's judging us, that he is actually going to be able to judge us largely based on our own memories, whether they are memories that of events that we have truly forgotten, whether they are memories of events that we have spent years lying about, claiming we have no recall of it, claiming we never did this, we never did that. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus pulling out of our own memories records of what we've done and not done, said and not said, lies that we have told over the years?